Welcome back to Millennial Hollywood Season 1, Episode 2. I'm your host, Dakota T. Jones, and today we are talking to a writer of one of your favorite hit comedy series, so make sure you stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
She in the spotlight, and she turned my head.
What is up, guys? I love this song.
Me too.
It's so fun.
It works.
Yes, it does. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
Well, hello and welcome back to Millennial Hollywood, Season 1, Episode 2. And today we are talking to a woman who's wrote some of our favorite episodes of Freeform's hit comedy series, Young and Hungry. And now she will be a published author with the April 11th release of Young and Hungry, Your Complete Guide to a Delicious Life. Hello and welcome, Diana Snyder. How's it going?
Good. So excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're here. Okay, so this is amazing. This is exciting.
So exciting.
And we'll get to this later, but like, how cool is it that you're going to be like, have you been an author before?
Not been an author before, and I feel like fans are going to freak out. We have so many fun little tidbits from the show, from Gabby's life,
Yay.
The recipes, the life advice. Like, it's really fun.
That's exciting. And it's co-written by Gabby.
Gabby Moskowitz, who is the real-life Gabby who inspired the show. So she's got great recipes, that some of which Gabby's actually cooked for Josh on the show.
Wow.
So you can make them at home for your own Josh.
That is so cool. That's awesome. Well, where can everyone find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Snyder Remarks, okay. And I'm on Twitter at Snyder Says, S-E-Z.
All right, and you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. And let's go ahead and get into this. Okay,
yes.
So you're a writer on Young and Hungry. Mm-hmm. How long have you been a writer on the show?
I've been on the show since the first season.
Okay, cool.
But I've been on staff as a writer on the show since season 2, when
okay,
they bumped
awesome.
Me up to staff. Yeah, I started out as a writer's assistant.
Okay.
And then season 2... someone left to go on another show, and I got really lucky, and
Wow. They
bumped me up to staff writer.
That is so awesome. So What does a writer's assistant do?
Okay, so writer's assistant is usually your first job in Hollywood, or production assistant. In this case, I was a writer's assistant. So what you do is you're literally just sitting at a screen, and all the writers are pitching stuff, and you're just trying to get it as fast as you can.
Gosh.
So they're like, okay, and this, and this. Did you get that? Did you get it? You're like, yeah, I got it. And then they're like, then when
you
do the actual script, all the writers are pitching, and you're kind of sitting at a desk behind. You're just typing. They're like, okay, and then Gabby says this, and you're like, da, 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 da. And they're like, okay, there's a comma there, da, da, da. And so you're just trying to get everything as fast as possible, get great notes. You know, sometimes the notes at the end of the day, when everyone's jumping in, then Josh does this, and then Elliot says this, and then Yolanda smacks him across the face, and then you got to get all the notes together, and sometimes they're 15, 20 pages, and you got to organize it.
That's
and
insane.
It's usually your first job in Hollywood, it was mine, before you kind of get onto staff on a
show. Everyone always says, like, they're like a PA or a production assistant. That sounds even harder than a production assistant. Like, I mean, a PA is very hard, but that
sounds very
stressful.
Yes, it definitely is.
That is so cool, though, that you got to, like, move up and now you're a writer of the show. So what is the writer's room like? Because I've always wanted to kind of go in and see. I mean, I'm sure it's just, like, a room with table and papers and everything. But is, like you said, it sounds like the energy is high. You're trying to get all the ideas.
The energy is super high. In our room, we have one big conference table, and then we have like 11 or 12 writers that sit around, and we usually start off pitching an idea. My boss will come in, David Holden, who's amazing.
Yes.
He created the show, and he'll come in, and we'll all pitch ideas. We'll be like, okay, I just want this really bad date. Maybe Sophia could go on a bad date, and then this is what could happen. And then someone will feed off your energy, be like, yes, exactly. And then, because when I was in an Uber, this could happen.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, oh my God, and then this could happen. And then she could fake a reservation, and whatever the stuff is people pile it on. Eventually, we have all these whiteboards that are around the room, and someone will say, once we have enough of the story, kind of like a beginning, middle, and end, like, she thinks she's so excited, it turns out the guy's crazy, you know, or he has kids, or whatever it is, and then we put it on the board, and we just do, like, act one, act two, act three, and literally go beat by beat of what the episode is, and put it up there.
That's so crazy.
Pitching
that's
on
like,
jokes at the same time.
That's a whole scientific formula, like, everything on the board.
Yeah, it really,
really
is.
Neat. That's
it
so
really
cool.
Is.
I love kind of learning those behind-the-scenes things that goes into making a show, because a lot of people think, oh, okay, like, the actors show up and then they just start. Like, no, that is not it. Like, you know, the actors are incredible.
Amazing.
But at the same time, you need something to go off of. And the fact that you guys can throw together these amazing episodes every week and have so much thought and detail going behind them. And also the fact that I saw on your comments on Instagram that, like, last week's episode, you were saying, like, the whole reservation thing – and that your boyfriend had done that before and, like, taken someone's name. So it's so cool you get to put in your own...
Oh, my gosh. And to be honest, I've done that before at the Genius Bar. We've all been there. Your laptop's broken. Yep. You need to get that appointment. You're like, that's me, Melissa Rosen.
Yes, that's and me. Like,
we've done it. I mean, I've done it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of times stuff from real life finds its way. Cool. Funny stories from your real life kind of always... find their way into the show amazing. Somehow. You go on a bad juice. I think that was my pitch first when I was a writer's assistant. I'd gone on a bad juice cleanse. I'm like, Elliot, Yolanda, they could go on a juice cleanse.
Yes.
And it's like, yes, that's it. So it's always stuff from your life that kind of makes its way.
And then I'm
show.
Sure it's so much fun to be like, oh, hey, like, that's my life. Like, I did that. That's so cool. So how many writers are on this show?
We have 11 this season. There's one writing team. So it's like two guys that kind of write together. So mm-hmm. I guess they count as one, but they're two people.
Yeah.
So, including them, it's 11.
Okay, cool. And this is you with some of them on set, correct?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
They're great.
They seem like a bunch of characters.
Oh, my God. We, the four of us, actually share one office together with a basketball hoop.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So, we'll be pitching jokes, and, like, they'll be just tossing a basketball, and, like, I'm the only girl in there. So, I'm like, guys, can you just eat your gross food and stop playing basketball
that is
outside?
So funny.
But no one listens to me, but it's great.
That is hilarious. What's your relationship with the cast like?
The cast is amazing. They're so talented. That's me and Jonathan right
that
there.
Is so funny.
Emily's been amazing. Amy, Kim, Rex. I mean, they're all just so talented. They mm-hmm. nail their lines, every joke. We're just really, I think this show is so lucky because we really have an amazing cast that's just naturally funny.
That's awesome.
It's just naturally funny.
Yes, definitely. Whenever you guys are at the live taping, is there times where, I know that sometimes the lines aren't working, like, for, like, one specific thing. Like, maybe someone's not laughing as much as you thought, and they have, like, the swing lines, I think they're called, or, like, the...
Yeah, so we call them alts.
Okay.
And so Wednesday nights on the show and Thursday nights, we usually stay late pitching on alts. So alts are, like, you have a joke, and just in case that joke lands, or just in case it gets old, because, you know, we do, every show we do, like, let's say 3 or 4 takes,
right.
And it's hard to laugh at the same joke every single time, so usually we'll have a couple of alt jokes, alternative jokes that we could kind of feed in, so it doesn't get repetitive.
That's so cool. So you, sometimes will you run up to the cast in between takes and be like, okay, so now try this line.
Yeah, so we typically feed everything to David, and then he's the creator, and he'll kind of run on the show and give them the new line. But it's great, especially if you're a writer's assistant or if you're on a show, and David creates this really collaborative environment where anyone can kind of, like, come in and pitch a joke. Like, I remember when I was a writer's assistant, my first big joke was Josh was dating Jilly. Do you remember that? The little chef?
Yeah.
And Gabby was all upset that, like, she was doing her job. And then we needed, like, a joke at the end. There was no kind of, like, ending joke for the scene. It wasn't landing.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, what if Yolanda just says, how come she doesn't do my job? And then...
oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And so then it was like, okay, we're doing it. And it got a big laugh. And it's, like, the most amazing feeling when you
so
get
fun.
An alt. And it's really, really fun.
That's... I bet you're sitting there, like, the pressure's there. And you're like, we need this. And then you say it, and then it works. And everyone laughs. And you're like,
totally.
I did that.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah, yeah.
So exciting.
It's awesome when that happens just live.
That is so cool. And during the live tapings, you sit behind the monitor, right? Which is, do you sit behind here with the director and all everyone?
So we kind of, like, sit and stand around and go get food and pitch jokes.
Yeah.
And it's we tape every single Friday almost from, I would say, 6 to, like, 9-ish. So it's a late night for us,
so
but we're
cool.
there. Yeah, we're there pitching jokes.
That is so fun.
Keeping track of what scenes we're on. And yeah, it's a really fun environment. I love working on a live show because you just know when things are working, which on our show, luckily, usually everything does. It's just the momentum and the energy is just so much fun.
That is so fun. I actually went to a taping not too long ago as a guest of Rex.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
He brought me in, and you guys have some amazing food there. Like, he took me through the food line, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, amazing food.
Too good, Dakota.
I know. And then it was amazing because I was there for the mid-season finale, and so I know what happens, which I've obviously sworn secrecy. But it's so fun because I got to run behind the monitor, and Rex was like, come on. So he brought me on the stage wall, like, everyone was watching, and I got to, like, go and be behind there, and... like, Emily Osment was standing there, and the director, and everyone was there, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm standing next to these people while watching the mid-season finale.
That's amazing.
So exciting. It's an amazing mid-season finale.
I completely agree.
It would be considered a mid-season finale, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. I think
sometimes they do 10 episodes, sometimes they do 20, but...
Yeah, I think they're airing us in groups of 10, so yeah,
I think
that's mid-season, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's so exciting. Well, I'm so excited to see, because I know what happens, but I want to know... how it led up to that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I know the ending of what's happening, but I'm like, okay, how did that happen? Like, I need to see all the episodes beforehand.
I know.
That's so cool. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, so who is your favorite character to write for?
Ooh, that's a really tricky question. I would say Gabby.
Yeah.
Only because I think I most like her. And I think in the rooms, Karen Lucas, who's a producer on the show a lot of times, will be like, you're like Gabby. What would Gabby do? Yeah. Like, you're always doing, like, crazy shenanigans and, like, causing situations and not telling her boyfriend things, but then admitting to things and then being crazy and scheming weird plans. Like, what would you do? What would Gabby do? So, for that reason, I love writing Gabby because she's has such a good heart, but she kind of goes about things in the completely wrong way.
Yeah.
So I feel like I feel very connected to that character. That is, I'm like, so I get funny. It, girl. I get
wow.
it.
Wow. That must be exhausting sometimes, because I can't, sometimes with Gabby, I'm like, I can't keep up with this girl.
I know.
But if you relate to her in a lot of ways, I'm like, wow, how do you keep up with yourself?
I can't, Dakota. there's always something happening.
Yeah. That is so funny. So I also want to show this awesome photo of you and Jonathan.
Yeah.
That is so cool that you guys get to, like, you know, hang out and like, that you're responsible for, like, his lines and everything. Like, that's just such a cool dynamic to be able to be like, yeah, like, these characters, I've helped create a life for them, but also these actors will also take and kind of do their own spin on things as well, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things, especially, it's funny you talk about Jonathan, because with us, from the first season, we were really trying to find what's fun? What can we do? What can we add more? We had a great character for him, but we really want to connect it more to who Jonathan is. And yeah. I think we've really found his character. I mean, Jonathan just plays, like, cocky so well and so funny. There's really no one that does it better than him. He just plays that cocky Josh swagger, but he's, like, a tech nerd, and he's secretly a little teddy bear. Yeah. Like, so well.
That is really so awesome. His character is hilarious. Yes. And just seeing, like, the dynamic between Josh and Gabby is hilarious. They're two different people, but they love each other in a sense, and they try to make it work, but just keeping up with them is the most fun and exhausting thing.
It is. It is, because he's so logical and serious and trying to get things done, and she's just, like, crazy and flighty and has all these plans, but I think ultimately, here's hoping, that's why they work.
That's right. Exactly.
We'll
Here's
see.
Hoping. Yes, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll
crossed. See. So I want to go ahead and get into the writing process. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask you, what are, like, the first steps that are taken, like, before writing a script?
Okay, so before writing a script, especially on this show, we have all the beats on the board. And so in Young and Hungry, we call it an A story and a B story. So I'm going to try to explain this as best as
I
can.
Yeah.
The A story is usually Gabby's story. So whatever's going on with her, the big story involving Sophia, involving Josh, that's usually the A story. And then the B story is usually an Elliot and Yolanda story. And then we feed in those stories through Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3.
Yeah.
We have, like, different beats for them. But typically, we don't start writing until we know all those beats.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. Let's say the episode is Gabby's trying to set up Sophia with, I'm just making this up, Elliot's crazy rapper brother.
Uh-huh.
And she tries to make it work, and then the second break is it doesn't work, and he turns out to be crazy, and the third beat is this. We have all of that sort of, like, thought out beforehand, and then we go off to script, and then how we do it on this show, typically people get scene assignments. So they'll be like, okay, Diana, you write crazy Gabby really well. She has this big, long speech at the end. Like, go write that. Okay, you guys are great with those Elliot Yolanda jokes. You go write that. And we kind of divide it all up. And then we put it into one big document. And then we edit it. All the scenes together. Mm-hmm. And we kind of comb through it and make it what it is.
Because you have to comb through it, because it's, like, I think, what is it, 28 minutes when you take out commercial breaks or something along?
It's a little less than that. It's like 23, 24.
Okay,
but it's
okay.
Still long. I mean, our scripts are like 41 pages.
Wow. So you have to, like, put all this stuff in there. And then sometimes there might be really good stuff and you're like, we have to comb through some of it to get it down to like 23, 24 minutes. That can be hectic trying to, because I know, like, as a writer, you must love everything that goes into it.
Yeah.
So having to kind of take things away or, like, take certain lines away, it's probably hard. It's like dissecting something, trying to get it just right.
We always talk about that in the room, especially with those guys. We're always talking about how if you have a joke that's made it from you submitted a scene, we've edited it, Then we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We do a rehearsal every single day up until the show. If your jokes made it all the way through, it's like gold star, you win. You win. Your jokes made it. Because a lot of the times, things change and jokes have been heard a couple times and we get them out. But when you've had something that's kind of made it to Friday's show, it's like, oh my God.
That's so great. Fun. Yeah. That is awesome. Let's see. So how long does it typically take to write an episode? So let's say you have an episode that you're filming next week. Is it something where you film or you start writing the week before, or is it something you do months ahead of time and have like a bank of scripts?
So for us, we're on a super tight schedule. So we are shooting 20 episodes this year. We're going boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. So typically it's written the week before. We've thought of it, hopefully, we hopefully have broken the story a couple of weeks before or a month before, and we have the idea of it. Then we actually go to write it. And then how it works on our show and a lot of sitcoms is Monday we have something called a table read where the actors' normal clothes are just sitting and they read the lines and we kind of hear the flow of it. We make changes. Tuesday, we have a producer's run through where we see it on the sets and the producers give us notes and we go home and make changes. Wednesday, we do a network run through where the network sees it, we see it, we go back and we make changes. Thursday, we pre-shoot stuff, meaning any stuff that's too hard to shoot in front of a live audience, like if it's outside or requires some kind of stunt, we shoot that on Thursday. And then Friday night, it's the show. So we are tweaking and tweaking and rewriting almost every single day of the week up until that Friday show.
That is crazy. And I know you guys usually do like the pre-taping on Thursday and then on Friday it's the live show, but Rex was telling me that there was like 3 episodes where you didn't have a live audience, which means there's a lot of stuff that you guys were shooting, either outside scenes or very complex scenes. And so I'm excited to see those too, because that means that you guys must have had to put even more effort into it just because it was so complex. I'm sure.
And those are definitely, I mean, I love the live audience. There's something really nice about being able to hear when something works and it's so much fun. But yeah, we've definitely had some really crazy, amazing, fun locations this year.
That's awesome.
We pre-shot.
That is exciting. I love, I think one of the big things that I remember being one of the first episodes that I was like, they must have had to really go on location for that was the whole Coachella thing.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
That was so cool, like with a bus, and then like there was that wedding, you know. And,
yeah.
I don't know, what was it, like a reception? You know where someone was telling Josh.
Oh my gosh,
like,
that
go
was at the CBS lot. Yeah,
oh
at Elliot and Alan's wedding.
Yeah.
You know what? It looked so good. I was on set for that. I wish I brought a picture. What's funny is it looked so big, but it was truly outside of the CBS cafeteria.
Really?
Literally on a patch of grass. And like there's like a little patch of grass outside the CBS cafeteria. It's like Taco Thursday. People are lining up and we've created this like beautiful, intricate
wedding. It was amazing.
Wedding. Yeah.
So that's so funny.
It's so funny. Like sometimes you can create in fact, what was that movie, Zero Dark Thirty?
Okay,
so that's where we did Coachella. Is that they have this like desert area. I think it's past Palm Springs area, and that's where we shot all the Coachella stuff.
Wow, so you guys had to go kind of far.
In the California desert a little bit. But yeah, so Zero Dark Thirty and Young and Hungry were shot in the same spot,
that's
I believe.
That's so fun.
So that's pretty cool.
Do you have any, like, I don't know, do you have any peeping Toms, basically, while you were on in the desert, or was there pretty much no one around?
So I was on location for that one. I was back in the room writing, but I think they tried to have a pretty close set.
Because that's hard, because whenever you go out on location, there's people, and you know, it's kind of a harder environment to try to keep people out.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it would be one of those things where you'd be like, all right, guys, you know, we can't have you watching this, because I could see them lining up trying to, like, get a glimpse.
It's true. The extras, the weddings, and all those episodes. Anything that requires a lot of people, ends up being a little bit of a fiasco.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what steps does the script have to go through in order to get approved by the network? Is it one of those things where, like you said, it's like at the table read or something like before that? Or is it something where you have to submit it and then sometimes they might be like, okay, this is good, but you're going to have to change this?
So we always give the network, or try to always give the network, an outline ahead of time.
Okay.
So usually they have an outline, and so they kind of know what the script looks like. And then based on that outline, they'll give us notes. And Freeform's a great network. They really are. They give us really smart notes. So they'll look at that outline. They'll say, you know, you might want to change this, or would this be more interesting? And they give us feedback. And then we take that feedback and then change the outline a little bit, adjust the script accordingly. And then after the table read and throughout all those rehearsals, the network is, they're very involved. They're giving us notes. They're tweaking things. But it's a very, I think TV is really fun because it's a super collaborative process, you know. It's kind of not like movies where you're off and you're doing your own thing. It's everyone has a voice on this show.
That's awesome.
And that's what's really cool about David, especially, is on this show, like, the writer's assistant, you can pitch. If you've got a great joke, you can pitch it. If you are the script supervisor, if you are, I don't know, the legal department, like, yeah, whatever it is on this show, pitch it. Like, we have a very open, really fun show, yeah, and I think that's what's great, especially if you're trying to get a job in a show and, you know, you're nervous about what do those entry-level jobs look like, I think take it. Take any job you can get. Doesn't matter if it's in catering. Doesn't matter if it's walking someone's dog, which I've totally done before.
Yeah.
Do it, because you'll take those jobs and you never know who you're going to meet, and sometimes you might pitch an idea and then it'll get in and then it'll lead to something and the next thing you know, you're super famous.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm all about that.
That's amazing. That's so cool. I love the fact that your whole dynamic at Young and Hungry, it's so inclusive and loving environment where everyone has a voice and everyone's able to pitch things, or, you know, that's exciting because a lot of places are very, like, strict with how they do things, and obviously there's a structure, but being able to have that freedom of everyone feeling like they're a part of it is a huge deal.
Huge.
And probably is plays out to why it's a huge success, because it's given so much love.
Yeah, definitely.
That's so cool. So, okay, so how long does it take from, which you've kind of answered this already in a sense, but from when you write it to whenever it is taped? Is that pretty much like a week's time, or?
A week or a little bit more. A week or a little bit more, I would say. We're constantly rewriting throughout the week.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like this, we usually start up again every summer. So I would say there's a couple of ideas that we had, let's say, in August that we might not have shot until October.
Yeah.
And then now won't air until now, like March. So, yeah, you know, it's funny because stuff that's airing now, like Valentine's Day, I think we wrote that in like October, November time.
Wow.
So like Thanksgiving. And so now it's airing and it's like almost summer. So
yeah,
it's fun to be a part of that.
Yeah. So by the time you guys tape, it is months.
Yeah.
Before it's
months
able
later.
To air.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, I am so excited that season 5 is here. I think we're on season 5, episode 3 next week, right? Or 4?
Yeah. Season 5, episode 3,
yeah,
which is a really fun one. We have Heather Dubrow,
yes,
on the show, who everyone is like making fun of me because I totally, believe me, I fanned out over Betty White too. Like,
oh, yeah,
I flipped, but Heather Dubrow, Real Housewife of Orange County, I'm a huge fan. I was totally freaking out. I was like, Heather, tell me everything I need to know.
That
she
is so funny.
Awesome. She's a great actress. She actually started out acting, so we have her on the show, and she plays this kind of like Bethany Frankel, kind of Martha Stewart-y type of woman who's,
yeah,
very business savvy and wants to do an app with Josh. But as always, Gabby weasels her way in,
yes,
and pitches Natasha an idea, and you'll have to see what happens. But
that is so funny. I can't wait to see that episode because I saw some promo photos and stuff, and I was like, this is going to be so good.
So funny.
So whenever you write an episode, is it one of those things where you're like, you know what, I could really see Dubrow in this episode, like, is it, or like, you know, Betty White, is it one,
yeah,
of those where you're like, okay, we're writing this, I think it would be great if Betty White was in this?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I feel like with Betty White, we were always, you know, pie in the sky, we were always like, oh, it'd be great to get Betty White on the show,
yeah,
it'd be amazing to get Betty White in the show. But Andy Kadiff, who's our director, actually directed Hunt in Cleveland, which Betty,
oh,
White,
yeah,
was on for many years.
Yes.
So he had a nice relationship with her. Rachel Sweet, who's a writer on our show, was also in Hunt in Cleveland. So a lot of people had relationships to Betty. We put in that phone call. We were praying that we got her. And then once we did, I think we had actually maybe a different way to go,
mm-hmm,
with Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah, we did. We had, instead of the dress, she got the ring initially, and then she dropped it, and then a mouse ate it.
Was, oh,
the initial,
really?
Thing. And then she was going to have to make a cheese souffle,
oh,
to get the mouse to come out with the ring. That was the initial Valentine's Day before,
so funny,
Betty White came. That,
yes,
was what it initially was. And then we found out that we got Betty White, and then the mouse was bye-bye.
You're like, bye.
Bye-bye, mouse.
Yeah.
It was a sad day. I like
that's
the mouse.
That's so funny,
but it was
though.
Better to get Betty.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you can always get the mouse to come back.
Yes.
I'm sure his schedule's free.
Yes.
But Betty, you know, that's amazing. And I found out that it's actually, I think, multiple episodes with her, two so far, right? Is,
yeah,
what they've released so far on social media, I've,
mm-hmm,
seen. That's
two
exciting.
Episodes.
So not only to get Betty White, but to get Betty White twice. Like,
oh my God, we killed it.
That is,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing to have her.
That
so
is so
much fun.
Yeah, it's just, I can't believe it's one of those things, whenever you have such a successful show, it does attract celebrities and people will be like, yes, I would love to be on that show because,
yeah,
it's a huge show. And to get to a place where you're like, we can pretty much get who we want on the show, and that's a big testament to how great the show's doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. definitely. Okay, so I want to get into like how you got here in a sense. So, like growing up, was this always something you pictured yourself doing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted to write. I was that kid making like, you know, the Thanksgiving play for my family and like the Halloween show. And like, I would totally be like dressing up my sister and like my cousins and stuff. So I kind of got bit by like the writing bug pretty early, I would say.
Yeah, that is so cool. It's one of those things I remember when I was little, I would be creating all the Thanksgiving things. And everyone would be like, all right, Dakota, like, do we really have to sit here for 30 minutes and watch you and your cousins like go off on this tangent about, I don't know. I just love that. Cause that's one of those things at young age, you get a sense for this kind of a thing and you want to go for it. And that's the best thing to do as a kid is you're able to kind of take those initial steps to kind of make your creativity happen, which is
awesome.
And you're
not scared, you know, when you're a kid. You're just doing stuff and having fun with it. You know, there's not as much pressure.
Exactly.
As when you get older and you're like, oh my God, this web series needs to get a million views and be so funny.
I know, exactly. There's a lot less pressure.
Yes.
So did you go to school for writing?
Mm-hmm. I went to NYU.
Awesome.
Yeah, they have this school called Tisch, and it's like an acting, writing. I don't act, but they have a writing and like film and TV program. So I studied there, and it was like so helpful. Like they broke down every single process.
That's awesome.
But Tisch is very I love Tisch. It's very serious. They have a lot of very serious filmmakers, and I was usually one of the only girls being like, I want to make a rom-com.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, we're studying Fellini.
Right,
I'd be like,
exactly.
Okay, Miss Congeniality is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
And like, I was kind of that girl a little bit. But I think kind of working, like there's, I would say TV structure, whether it's, you know, like Citizen Kane or Friends, like it's all kind of the same in that way. But yeah, NYU was great for that.
That's so awesome. That's really cool. And bringing back to what you said about like Friends, I feel like Gabby and Josh are like the Rachel and Ross.
1,000,000%.
Which is so cool because I've watched literally every single episode of Friends. So being able to kind of get on a show that I love that is not like them, but like is in a sense has the essence of them. It's so exciting because I'm like, yes, like that's one of those things where their relationship attracts so many viewers just because it's so intricate and funny and just seeing it fail and then get back together. And it's just one of you love watching other people's pain in a sense. Like you watching other people mess up and try again. It's so fun.
Absolutely. And it's like, who hasn't had a relationship like that?
Exactly.
Do you know what I think everyone in their early 20s is like, the amount of times I've heard my friends be like, okay, I'm dating this guy. No, I'm not dating this guy. No, he hasn't texted me. Now he's texting me. Now he's my boyfriend. Oh my God, I'm not talking to him. I hate him.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that's kind of like the natural early 20s teen relationships,
exactly.
You know?
it's so funny. So what was the first memorable thing that you wrote in a sense? Was it like in college or was it like you said back whenever you were doing the plays in front of your family?
Let's see. I would say I did this web series after college. My first job after college, I was a personal assistant to a Hollywood actor, which was amazing and crazy, and I learned a ton.
Wow.
But then after that experience, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a personal assistant forever. Maybe I want to write something.
Yeah.
So I wrote and directed this web series called Skirts and Ladders, and it was about this girl who works for this boss, and she doesn't really want to do this, but she's not really sure what she wants to do next, but she's got a lot of energy and heart and hustle.
Yeah.
And I wrote that, and it was really, really fun. And that was kind of the first time I was like, oh, TV. Like, they were kind of like 3-5 minute episodes. And I was like, TV is really fun. Like, you get to kind of stay with these characters and see them grow and do different things every week. And I think that was sort of like the launching
pad. That's incredible. So that was like your first project after college.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's so fun. That's awesome. And then after that, was it Young and Hungry after that?
Yes, I worked for an actor for like 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what do I want to do next? And I want to write for a show.
Yeah.
And I had been out to LA only once with my mom, and my mom wouldn't let me drive in LA, so she drove me to all my meetings.
Oh.
So my mom, I'd be like, okay, I have a lunch meeting at the CBS lot, and like my mom would like drive like our minivan rental around and like hang out at Gilligan's Island Way at the CBS lot and be like, okay, honey, good luck. And I'd be like, thanks, mom. And I'm like, oh my God, this is totally embarrassing.
That is so sweet,
though.
That's awesome.
And one of the companies that I met with was the Tannenbaum Company, who produces this show. And then I literally did a Google alert on them. And then when Young and Hungry got picked up, I was like, oh my God, I need to get on the show. What do I do?
Yeah.
And I had been an intern many summers before at NBC Universal, and I knew someone who knew someone at Freeform, and I was like, please, please, I will call in the stick favor, email someone, email someone, and get me on the show Young and Hungry. I don't know why. I read the script, and I just feel like this is meant
something
to be my
you
show.
Want to do. That's so cool.
Yeah. It was actually really crazy, because they made that phone call, and then David interviewed me over the phone, and someone told me, whatever you do, don't tell him. I was still living in New York at that time. I wasn't even living in L.A. because I grew up in New York.
Yeah.
And they said, don't tell him that you don't live in L.A. because if anyone finds out that you've uprooted your whole life to work on this show, it's too much pressure. So I said, okay. Yeah. So we're doing the phone interview. It's going great. Finally, he asked me, so where do you live? And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. The only street I could remember in Los Angeles was Franklin Avenue. I don't know why. So I was like, I live on Franklin. And he was like, oh, great. Okay, great. Can you start on Monday? And I was like, sure. And then I was like, oh, my God, Mom, I have to start on Monday. And I don't have an apartment in L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's so
crazy. Yeah, we literally just, like, packed up. I, like, begged my mom. We, like, flew. I started the job, and she, like, would find me an apartment and, like, help me get everything set up while I was at work.
That is so amazing. So it sounds like your parents or your mom is, like, super supportive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's incredible. That is so fun. My parents are super supportive, too, and whenever I first moved out here, I was almost 18. I was 17 at the time, and they totally, like, they thought there was a chance I might have gotten on, like, a show, which it didn't end up working out, but they helped me uproot everything. I graduated early. I moved out here. They stayed with me for a week and a half. They made sure I had everything I needed. I had my everything, and then they said goodbye, and it's amazing when you have that, like, someone behind you that believes in you so much, because that's so cool, and I respect that you made that leap of faith and just came out here, and that's incredible. That's a very awesome story to be able to be like, yes, this is where I started, and I got here, and I did my schooling, and then I flew across the country.
Yeah, I think you have to. And I would tell anyone out there who wants to be a TV writer or wants to be in the business, like, make the leap. Hopefully you can get a job wherever you are. If you're in Kentucky, if you're in Michigan, wherever you are. I did it from New York. Like, you can get a job and make the leap. And even if you can, I would say just do it. Make the leap. You'll meet people. You'll get a job. You can do it.
That's amazing.
I really believe that.
I love hearing people say that, because it is scary sometimes, but you have to just do that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. Well, I have some really fun game that I want to play with you.
Okay, yay. I like games.
It's called Who Said That?
Oh, God. Okay.
And I have these. I have all the characters.
Oh, my God. This is so fun.
And so you can keep these. And so basically what you're going to do, I'm going to say a line, and you're going to try to guess of who you guys wrote that line for, and then you'll hold it up to this camera.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. I got it.
Okay. So these lines are incredible. All right. Okay. So the first one, it's not strip poker, is it? I'm willing to risk my money, not my eyesight.
Oh, this is a tough call. Okay. I think I got it.
Correct!
Yay! I know the show. Okay, yes. Okay. And I can't be cocky yet.
No, that's all right. You know, that is one of my favorite lines on the show, because he has so many great one-liners. It's incredible.
I know, he's the master of the zinger.
Yes. Okay, so, my mind is in the gutter, but my balls never are.
Oh my God, I wrote that!
Did you really?
Yeah!
That is a great line.
Oh my God, yes! I totally wrote that. That's so fun. Okay.
All right. Correct! That is a great line. Okay, so, it's like when my hair got cornrowed. It was a one-time thing in the past, and I totally regretted it. This is like an early line.
Oh, Gabby looking at the fridge.
Yes,
boom!
Look at you go. Okay, so 3 out of 3 so far.
Okay.
Last night, after I called off my wedding, you're the person I wanted to see.
Aw, classic line.
Classic.
I did not write that, but I wish I did.
That's incredible. That line right there, like, if someone didn't watch the show and saw, like, that picture that had the line on there, like, Freeform post those promotional photos with the line across it. If anyone just stumbled across that enough would make me want to watch the show and be like, cancel my wedding. What? And
I would
click on watch it on the Freeform app.
Literally got waterworks from that.
Yes. Okay, so we have, if I'm going to be showing all that skin, I got to go get waxed. Correct.
Yes!
Correct. I think that's 5 out of 5.
Oh, okay. My God. Okay, my Young and Hungry scorecard.
I hope it fits. I have hands like little starfish.
Oh, Alan. No, Elliot when Alan proposed.
Yes. All right, you even, like, not only do you know the character, but you know, like, the situation of how it happened. That's incredible. He thinks I'm adorable despite looking like Edna from The Incredibles.
Oh, my gosh. Gabby during the speed dating episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't that the episode with Brent Bailey? He had, like, a beard at the time, I think.
Yeah, yeah,
he came in for our Young and Hungry after show. He is funny.
So funny.
He was a great guest star. Okay, so it won't be the first time a guy passes out on me and I have to do all the work. That was a great line.
I think it's...
Correct. Woo! Correct. I think that was whenever the guy who she took her to Drake or like a concert.
Oh, yeah. And she had to write his report. The writer guy for that article.
Yes, that was great.
That was a really fun one.
And the last one. I'm not wearing the underwear that I want to die in. Correct.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you got all of them correct.
Oh my gosh. I know my characters.
That is amazing.
I know
these applause
characters.
For sure. That's
Thank
crazy
you.
Awesome. I love that because whenever I did this, I didn't tell you what the game was. I didn't
no,
tell you what we're
going to
be doing. And you got every single one of them. I'm super impressed. Okay, so let's talk about wrapping this up a little bit. I want to know, what do you want to do next? Obviously, you want to continue with Young and Hungry, but what's something like an unaccomplished dream that you always wanted to do, whether it be work on another television show or work on movies?
Mm-hmm. My big dream long term, I'm super happy at Young and Hungry, but I think eventually I definitely want my own show.
That's cool.
I think that's every TV writer's dream, but
yeah.
I mean, I love writing for girls. I mean, I'm a 20-something girl. I totally get what it's like to have big dreams and you've got your hustle on, you're trying to make it work, but
yes.
There are obstacles in your way and you're doing everything you can. You're walking dogs at night, you're driving Uber, and you're just trying to do everything you can. Like, I want to tell those stories about girls who are hustling, who are trying to make something of themselves, whether, you know, they're in a law office or they're in a high school or they're running for school president or
yeah.
whatever it is. I want to tell those stories.
That's like so exciting. I love that. And one of the things where I know that I don't think it ended up happening, but the Young and Sophia spinoff,
mm-hmm.
I love that episode and I love the dynamic between Amy Carrero and Ashley Tisdale.
Yes.
And that whole thing is like you said, like the girl power, like trying to make it in the business and having all these obstacles. And like in Young and Hungry and that spinoff episode, I saw that so much. And it's an important thing to share with people because, you know, a lot of people try to pit women against women. But at the same time, it's so fun to see a show that like makes light of it in a sense.
Yeah.
And shows like if girls are having problems with each other, like how silly it is and how it can be overcome. And I love that about the show. I think they really do a great job of trying to make light of that and make women powerful.
Totally. I think Gabby and Sophia, they always have each other's backs.
Yeah.
And it's fun writing those kind of stories. Devil Wears Prada is like my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
And like, I would love to do like the TV version of that.
Yes, yes. And also, okay, now it's Freeform. So you started while it was ABC Family,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So how much liberty have you gotten to write maybe more scandalous things or whatever, like from ABC Family to Freeform? Because let me tell you guys are pushing the limits on some of these things.
I know. Yeah, we did some picks on 2 episodes ago that
oh
were
my
very
gosh.
Scandalous.
Yes.
Where
Josh was like over
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
like,
or Josh
photo
was
shoot.
Taking some little shots. What do you call it? A penis panorama?
Oh, like a panorama or
pinorama,
something.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, we've totally been getting away with some stuff. I think Freeform is really pushing the boundaries as best as we can, you know, keeping things funny and
yeah.
appropriate. But at the same time, like, I mean, we did an episode, I think, in season 3 or 4 where, like, Gabby got a gig from Logan to, like, make
yeah.
pot brownies.
Yeah.
And, like, we did that. But she took one accidentally. And then, like, she's, you know, got an STD test. So
yes.
we've definitely done that kind of stuff on the show. And I think we do want to be telling more stories that I think, you know, younger people are experiencing. And I
yeah.
think, like, real stuff, I think. I think Freeform is
that's
definitely
exciting. It's
yeah.
giving you guys more liberty to kind of talk more about certain situations and kind of, I love it. I think it's great. Lastly, I want to talk about this book again. So, Young and Hungry, Your Complete Guide to a Delicious Life.
Yes.
Your name is right here. How does that feel? That's so incredible.
Feels amazing.
That is so fun.
Feels
so
amazing.
This will be out April 11th, correct?
Yeah, on April 11th. It's actually available to pre-order on Amazon right now. I can go on, just click that pre-order page, and boom, you're there.
That's amazing.
But the book's really fun. It kind of ties in recipes in the show and themes of the show with advice. So I would say, like, Friends with Benedict's, the perfect Eggs Benedict recipe, and like how to be in a Friends with Benefits relationship, ladies.
That is amazing.
Like that kind of stuff. You know, Girl Code and Rocky Road. Like if you broke a Girl Code rule, you can patch things up with a batch of brownies. We will tell you how to make them, and here's how to do it.
That is so cool. So it's got like life experiences plus the food you need to make
exactly.
to help her. Do they have the famous grilled cheese? That's what I want to know.
The famous grilled cheese, I believe, is in there, but okay. If not, there's something equally as good.
Okay, all right. That's amazing. So this comes out April 11th. How exciting is that? And it has the foreword by Emily Osment.
Yes, Emily wrote an amazing intro. It's beautiful and like ties everything together and talks about what she's learned from playing Gabby. So if you're a fan of the show and you're a fan of Emily, I think you're really going to connect to the
book.
That's
so cool. I'm excited. Thank you so much for giving me a copy.
Yes, of course.
And she signed it and everything, so I'm super excited. I'm definitely going to be trying out some of the recipes because I'm really not a good cook and I'm wanting to learn.
Me too.
So that's incredible. Plus, it'll give me more motivation because I'll be like, okay, I want to cook something. Oh, and let me see how I can make this relationship work real quick.
Yeah, right?
I love that.
I know.
That's so exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. It's so much fun.
It's been a blast. And let everyone know again where you can be found on social media.
Yes. Okay, so I'm Instagram, Snyder Remarks, SnyderEmarks, and Snapchat and Twitter at Snyder Says, SnyderSez.
All right. I love your usernames. I love it. Like Snyder Remarks. I love it. Okay, and you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. We will be back. Whoa. Next week, season one, episode 3 with Megan Rinks. She has a very special announcement, and she will be joined by Jack Ferry. And that's going to be exciting. That's all I can say because I'm not really sure what they're going to announce. And I know you guys aren't supposed to know yet. So make sure you tune in. It's going to be so exciting. And we have more guests lined up for you guys every week here. So make sure you stay tuned. Follow the Popcorn Talk everywhere at the Popcorn Talk, AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to comment below. We love responding to you guys. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and we will feature it on next week's show if you write a review. So we love you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for watching.
And watch Young and Hungry next week.
Mondays at 8.
Yes.
Mondays at 8, baby.
Stay young and stay hungry.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.